Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing you down-to-earth conversation about the realities of our real-life experiences. I'm your host, Lisette McKenzie, author, mental health advocate, self-discovery and mindset transformation coach, and self-concept connoisseur. From situations to situationships, I'll be bringing discussions about the challenges women face from day to day, but don't talk about enough as we navigate this thing called life.
So welcome back, everyone. Happy New Year once again. Today, I am being joined by a woman who I actually stalked. We're in a mutual Facebook group, and she posted a video where she was doing some self-soothing technique. And at first I didn't really know why that struck me. It just stuck out to me and I was like, that's interesting. So I watched the video, it's a short video. And I was like, you know what, let me watch that again. So I watched it again and I'm like, I gotta reach out to this woman. I have to talk to her. I need her on the podcast because self-soothing is everything that we need going from one horrible year to an unexpected year. Self-soothing is what we need. So I reached out to Nicole. Nicole is a licensed clinical social worker and she is repping. Where are you at? In Cali?
I'm out in California, Northern California, Sacramento to be exact.
Sacramento. So I jumped state lines. I went all the way to the West Coast.
Come on!
To get some self-soothing. Nicole, welcome. So thank you so much for not running away from me because I was stalking you. I stalked your page and I'm looking at all your videos. I was stalking you. I'm not ashamed to say it. So welcome.
You know, I think that higher self, right? When we find something that resonates, the beauty of this technology is we can keep going and we can keep going. So I'm grateful to be here and I'm so honored that you asked me to share space and time with you.
Yes. What attracted you to self-soothing first of all? And I'll tell you what attracted me to it.
Wonderful. What attracted me to self-soothing is 2020. All the old coping mechanisms were not working. So being able to take off for the weekend, being around people who know you and love you and can just physically touch you and hug you and you can kind of almost diffuse, right? Diffuse some of that energy that we get in the work that we do. I wasn't getting that. So either I needed to invest some stock in like a wine company or I needed to figure out how to meet that physical, do you know that physical need? That physical sense of I'm okay. I'm all right. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. And I don't know about you, but the quarantine therapy is not like pre-COVID therapy.
Right.
I mean, people are really coming with everything and all the things we used to be able to tell them to do, they can't go out and do.
Right.
Or so it was kind of like I needed to figure out something fast for me because I just was so overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. So, and you're right. So now with COVID, they're not able to go out. They're not able to give room to the problems that they're facing. So everything is in one room every day, all day. There's no escape. So they are being forced literally to sit with their problems with no way of actually addressing them. Because what are you going to do? There's nowhere to go. So when I saw your video for self-soothing, I said, well, that makes so much sense because as human beings, we tend to look for pacification outside of ourselves. We tend to look elsewhere to find something to make us happy, find something to calm us down. But now with COVID, there's very big limitations. So we're just stuck with ourselves. So what the heck do we do? So the technique that I saw you do, and it was so funny because when you were slouching, I was also slouching. And I said, okay, so when you stood up, I'm like, okay, let me see. And it makes such a big difference. It makes such a big difference. And I think more people should come to know what self-soothing is, what they can do, and the reason why they're doing it. So I commend you for even taking it there.
You know, I think I want to say it would be received, that somebody would see it. And I hearing you verbalize it helps me greatly, because mirror neurons happen. You don't have to be actually doing it. You can watch, you can feel soothed. So the fact that it inspired you to, let me just test this. It's called the power pose. For those of you who are listening, it's called the power pose. It's or the Wonder Woman pose. And that you stood up and you had an experiential shift for yourself. Once you feel it, what can anybody tell you?
Right.
Because you have a knowing for yourself. And that's, as you're doing therapy, a lot of times we're up in the head, we're asking people to drop into their feelings. And I love what you said about not being able to give room because we're stuck in one room. And all of our therapy, sit with your feelings, lean into it. Whoa, it's so overwhelming. What do I do about the fact that I'm starting to sweat, Nicole? What do I do about the fact that my stomach is in knots? And I started looking at somatic approaches. I had learned about heart math, heart-focused breathing. I knew that gave me a very real in-the-moment physical change. And I said, I think we're doing this all wrong. I don't think we're giving credit to the fact that our whole body is 100 times bigger than our brain. And so that poor brain gets all the credit and all the pressure. And we can use our physical body to change the brain. And I just got curious. I just got curious about feeling better.
So for me, one of the things that I said that I was going to try, I was going to attempt this year, not a New Year's resolution, just an all-around shift in how I care for myself, meditation. Meditation has never been interesting to me because I always see it as somebody sitting on the floor with their hands up and cross legged. If I get on the floor, I'm going to have a really hard time getting up. So I don't want to be on the floor. I don't want to be on the floor. So, you know, after speaking to different people, I've discovered that meditation is much more than sitting on the floor. So that's something that I want to try to incorporate more as the days go on. And self-soothing is one of those things that can help bring the focus, you know, bring you back from whatever negative energy or experience that you may have gone through during the day or even in that moment. The techniques that you showed in a few of your videos, there's three that I am going to ask you about. It just seems to work. And there may be more people like me who think that meditation is just, you got to sit on the floor. You have to, it's not. There are other things that you can do. Sitting on the floor is not for everyone. And I, like I said, it's definitely not for me. But I could use the self-soothing techniques that you showed in your videos as a form of meditation for me.
You know, I think when I hear you talking, what you're really talking about when we hear meditation is that calm state, mm-hmm. right? You know, the reason why you would want to meditate is to get to a calm state so that you can relieve yourself from the thoughts, the stressors, the overwhelmment. That's the beauty of meditation. I, like you, I've tried yoga. Did it work for me? I try meditation. I like a walking meditation. So I'm more of a physical person. And so when I started doing the self-soothing, I started with the heart math, and then I learned about Ho'oponopono. Mm-hmm. And then from that, I learned about self-havening. And if you're if you ascribe to manifestation, quantum mechanics, the law of attraction, you know, once you start looking, the universe, spirit, creation says, here, Nicole, try this. And so that's how it happened for me. So then I thought, as I became a clinical supervisor, listening to these people trying to get their hours, doing therapy for the first time, feeling overwhelmed, community mental health, where your caseloads are crazy, I thought, what can I give them that I wish I would have had when I was going through the process? And it was, when you hear someone say something absolutely traumatizing and your own nervous system wants to run away, uh-huh, wants to fight, and you can't freeze, all these things we cannot do because we're the professional, what could I give Nicole while I'm giving, quote unquote, and holding space for the client? I just, mm-hmm, the self-soothing is something I think that we as professionals, we're just taught to just give. And, you know, I'm at a place in my life where if I'm not getting something in the moment, then I don't know if this is worth my time, my energy. You know, I have to be able to take care of myself in the moment.
Right. Exactly. And I'm just looking, I wanted to go, because you said the havening, because I had never heard of that. And that's actually one of the videos that I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted you to explain it more.
Sure.
I'm like, is it havening? I was going through all these emotions as I prepared for this moment. So explain to us what that is.
So I found it, again, universe says, hey, you're doing these self-soothing techniques. I had never even heard of the term self-soothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I just knew that I'm single. Ain't nobody here to hug me and wrap me up.
self-swaddling is another one I'm going to talk about.
I had to take it back to infancy. I said, I'm going to wrap myself up. I'm going to feel contained. And it's that containment, because 2020, so much uncertainty, not being able to say, oh, you're going to be able to go back to school at the end of the, so much uncertainty. That boundaries, containment, I was all over the place. So the self-swaddling, but self-havening, they have a website. It's a psychiatrist or psychologist that founded the technique. And it's the tactile. It's taking your hands, crossing your shoulders, and putting your hands on your left and right shoulder, and then just rubbing down to the elbows. Coming back up to the shoulders, rubbing down to the elbows. And if you can do this for, it only takes 17 seconds for you to think a new thought, but if you can do it for 30 seconds to 60 seconds, what they found is when they did the biofeedback and measurements is that it started to decrease stress, mm-hmm, and it started to regulate the heartbeat. And once you get your heartbeat in coherence with what your brain is doing, we call that coherence or alignment, that's when your amygdala or your stress response can click off.
Okay.
That's when it can click off. So havening, I'm with you. I said, boy, I better go to this website I just ordered some materials and I'll probably get certified in it, just because there's something about being able to acknowledge, yes, I'm stressed. Mm-hmm. That is the first thing that I think we don't really do enough.
Yes.
We don't really say, whoa, I'm getting stressed right now. I feel like running away. I feel like fighting this client. I feel like, I don't know, I'm a deer in the headlights with what this client just told me. Mm-hmm. Yet we fight it with intellect. We override it with intellect, but there's something going on in the pit of your stomach, in your chest. And I'm thinking, wow, we as therapists and clinicians and doctors, we don't talk about this thing that's going on for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, so self-havening is the hands, and it's just a steady contact with self. And so what happens is when you move your hands anywhere in your body, your brain focuses on that area. So when I start to do this, my brain starts to go, what's happening? When I rub my hands together, then as I do it longer, it starts to create warmth. So then it's also telling my body and my organ, oh, something's happening here. Oh, this is very comforting. And so the brain then the body then overrides the brain.
And the poses and the movements that you do, for people who really don't have much awareness of self, or of this experience in general, when you normally see people rubbing themselves or, you know, doing all of these moments, some people automatically assume something's wrong. Something's mm-hmm. wrong with you. They don't equate that to you're trying to make something right.
Whoa, say that again.
They do not equate, it's something is always wrong. They never, the first thought is never to equate that you're trying to make something right. And I think that is something that we need to work on, to shift the mindset, to start looking for the greater things and staying out of the negative territories.
Wow, that was so powerful. That's, oh, I love what you just said, Lizette, because when the stress response hit, people want to know, how do I get rid of my anxiety? How do I stop this thing? Your stress response is a natural, would you take the brakes out of your car?
No.
You would not take the brakes out of your car. So your stress response and your autonomic nervous system, where you do things and you react so fast, and then, you know, you don't understand why you did it. Well, here's the thing. If you're walking down a trail, it's a nice trail, you walk this trail a million times, but you hear something rustling in the bushes, okay? Your brain will move you very quick. You might jump to the right. Mm-hmm. You might speed up your pace. Mm-hmm. Now, you do that because your body says, hey, I want to keep you alive. And it does that quicker than your prefrontal cortex, your big old smart brain that everybody loves to give credit to, can say, I wonder what that was. Well, the sound sounded like it was 2 feet from me. It's probably, you know, your brain doesn't have time to go, is that a stick? Is that a snake? Uh-huh. So I have learned to love and appreciate my stress response. So when I jump or someone scares me, I can laugh now. Like, you know what? You got me. You got me. And then I thank my stress response. And so I think what happens is, because this has not been explained to us, children lie out of stress. People do things that they're embarrassed about out of stress. Yeah, and then yeah. They have guilt and shame. And then it's what you said. When we then try to make something right, it's about the behavior. And nobody acknowledges that you have a hardwired stress response that does not ask you, how do you want to do this?
Absolutely. 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 And it's rejected. It's rejected. Something that can be so helpful gets easily rejected. Whereas something that's so harmful gets all of the attention. And I think we need to create a shift in mindset to start seeing things in a different perspective.
Yeah. I mean, what if, when we talk about the bullies at school, when we talk about these kids, what if we really, really took the time to say, whoa, something's going on.
Yeah.
Whoa, I'm starting to sweat. Oh, I need to take a minute. I need to take a minute. What if we really, really taught kids how to do that? Or even myself, mm-hmm. I've come to know that, wow, I look at my early parenting and I'm, you know, there are moments I'm proud of. And there are moments that I realize, you know, she was in stress mode. There was no, you know what you did. And you know how the kid looks like a deer, we call it a deer in the headlights, mm-hmm. and we continue. You know this was wrong. So now the stress is continuing, and my stress response, I'm frozen.
Yes.
Now I used to, like when I was a kid, that was disrespectful. You better have an answer. Now I realize my whole stress response was like, don't say anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say anything and you might survive this threat.
Exactly.
But, you know, it starts early in life that we have to override this naturally occurring and informing stress response system that is built into us, and we have to override it and ignore it. And then nobody, when you lie or you do something embarrassing, now you're in therapy because, you know,
For something
for a behavior. Exactly. For a behavior.
Exactly. So the self swaddle. I didn't even realize that that's what I was doing. And it's so peaceful. It's so relaxing. It's everything that I need when I just want to block out and just be, you know, I
was. So this is something you've realized you've been doing.
Yes. Just about every night. And I have a husband, and it's just something about wrapping yourself up and being with yourself peacefully. My eyes are covered. The way you did it was so cute, because I've never done it with the flap, the extra. That was adorable. So tonight is going to be my night. but it's soothing. It's relaxing. It's kind of like a sense of self-security, so to
speak. Containment. Yeah. Everything you're saying.
I was like, well, I do that. And I have the blanket, you know, I love my little soft blanket. Or for some people, they may need a weighted blanket. Whatever gives you that sense of security to help you regain your sense of self, do that. And I think some people may not see it as that, because again, they're always looking for the negative. They're always looking for the why is it happening instead of the why are you doing it.
Well, again, when you're not taught about stress response, when you did that thing you did, that you feel bad about or you want to have not done, that wasn't your true self. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you. That's why you get in a fight with somebody and you say the most hurtful thing, right? Well, that's to get the person to back up, mm-hmm. okay? But then that person looks at you and says, why did you say that? Why would you say that? You don't really have an answer.
Right.
I don't know if people realize, if you really think about why that thing flew out of your mouth, I can guarantee you, you don't have an answer. And that is because that is your lizard brain.
Yep.
That is your basal bottom part of your brainstem. That is your lizard brain. It does not have any thought. All it's saying is, somewhere I learned that if I say this thing to you, you're going to back up. So then the person says, so you must really mean it. Or that must be how you really feel. No. Let's take a picture. And in that moment, I was stressed, I felt threatened, and that's what came out. But then we're left with the aftermath. Exactly. And so I'm saying, wow, if we can start soothing ourselves in the moment, and you said it at the beginning of the show, you said, we have been taught to externalize. We have been taught that if my mother had just been different, uh-huh. if my father had just been different, if the politics were just different, right, you know, right. But your stress response and your internal regulation is personal.
Right.
It's personal. And so I said, I'm asking people to go into their feeling states, and I'm asking people to do all this stuff, and I'm not taking care of what's happening internally for them.
Not even acknowledging it. Not even, and really not even recognizing that it's something separate. It's a separate entity from what's really happening. It can be treated as a separate entity from what's really going on externally. We ignore a lot of things when it comes to us. Like, we're so intrinsic. We're very special. Human beings are just very special. There's
so many
levels to us. There's so many things that we should know about ourselves that we don't know. We don't think to look for. Because of that externalization, we feel like everything is going to come from outside of us, and everything we need is right here.
Yeah. Well, we're taught that the answer is outside of you. It's in a book. Mm-hmm. It's in a teacher. It's in a guru. It's in a preacher. It's in a something. You're taught you're conditioned very early, because you come out knowing you're everything. You come out. You don't have no, you know, unless you have sensory things of that nature. When you're a baby, you don't have no problem with anybody looking at you.
Nothing.
Because you don't have a thought that I'm less than. You have no concept that I'm not enough.
Absolutely. When your mind is innocent and free, yeah.
You're it. You're it. I'm just looking at you for safety. When I cry, do you feed me? When I'm wet, do you change me? And that's when it starts getting wobbly, right? When we see those things not happening, that's when the brain starts to wire and fire things together. And, you know, I just said, wow, this is instant. When I put my hand on my heart, I've done heart-focused breathing so much that all Nicole has to do is put fingers on my heart, and my breath and my brain will start to regulate.
Wow.
Because I've conditioned myself so much to know that when I touch my heart, I'm going to take a deep breath in and exhale longer.
Right.
So I might be in a session with someone and I can't visibly look like, oh, you give you too much. Well, I'm gonna need you to stop because I need to take a breath. I cannot do that, right? You know, people gonna feel like they're too much anyways. So Nicole, myself, and I do refer to myself in the third person, which people always point out, I will just kind of rub my heart space. Mm-hmm. And internally, I visualize me doing the in and out. And do you know my body reacts as if I'm actually doing that thing? Ooh, our brains and body are so phenomenal. And they're all wired to help us. It's all wired for our best life. It's all wired to keep us here to have an experience of living. And so when I hear people who are like, I hate myself, it's hard to be myself, I don't like myself, I just know that they've been conditioned out of their inherent greatness, mm-hmm. and that they just don't know that, wow, no, we can rewire this. You can rewire your brain.
Absolutely. Now, and there's, before I get to the last video that I love, when it comes to rewiring, I think it's important for people to understand that they have to give themselves time. They've spent years building up all these things that they need to change, that they need to get rid of. They need to give just as much effort and energy and time to the thing that they're looking to change too. It's not overnight. It's not going to just happen. It's not going to become second instinct in a day.
That's right.
2 days. They need to give it time.
That's right. That is right.
You did the quiet mind, self-soothing quiet mind. And it's funny because, so I tried it out and I'm like, okay, I'll open my mouth. So explain the quiet mind.
Okay, so you're talking about the tongue.
The tongue, yes.
Okay, I was like, which one is the quiet mind? Okay.
Yes, the tongue, yes.
Yes, so, you know, we have continuing education. And I took like a self hypnosis. I'm very curious about the brain states. Mm-hmm. And so one of the trainers mentioned something about the tongue, and that right now, if you're listening to this and you are thinking a thought, your tongue is actually moving. It's got micro movement. So you, whoever's listening right now, start laughing in your mind. Your tongue will start laughing. Like, how does this woman know this? What is going on? This is, they can see me. This is woo-woo stuff. So she said, what happens is when you can get your tongue to lay still, and she taught us an exercise. And then I, you know, we go in, we internalize, and I figured out something to work for me. Mm-hmm. I tried it, and we can try it right now. So if you're listening, and whatever you're doing, you could be driving, you could be whatever, you can keep your eyes open for this, but just soften your brow, soften your gaze. And if you can, go ahead and focus on your tongue and imagine that your tongue is a boat on a very still lake. There are no ripples. There are no waves. And you're going to focus that boat, which is your tongue, right in the center of your tongue. And just connect with the stillness. And what you should notice, I'll ask you, Lizette, what are you noticing about your internal dialogue?
It's quiet. It's still. it's
quiet. Like
when you said to imagine that your tongue is in the water, it's a boat, like it was just so still, like being in water and floating up, relaxed, just. And when I tried that, I was like, oh shoot.
It works.
Shoot. I didn't say shoot at all. I said the other S word.
Yes.
But I was like, that is amazing. Like it was just like my tongue just automatically floated. Like it was just relaxed. Like there was no, it didn't have anything to do with gravity. I didn't feel like I needed to be doing something with it. My mind was still. We need that. We need to be able to look within ourselves to find that specific level of relaxation.
Yeah. I mean, when you do it and it works, I did a young lady call for a consultation driving and she's anxiety. So she's talking, you know, a consultation turns into a session because people tend to tell you their whole life and you're like, whoa, we don't have agreement to work together. You're telling me very personal information. Yeah. And she was driving. I said, I just want to, can you, and I did this with her. And she was about mid 20s. And she said, oh my God. She never called me back. I think she took that tool and ran with it. She never called me back. Yeah, I think what happens is, you know, and I think the first time you and I talked, again, I start to go, oh my gosh, do you remember when we were kids? And you would get caught with your mouth open, and your parents would say,
yes,
shut your mouth, right? Your parents would tell you. But if you can think back, there were times when as a child, because you don't know better, your mouth is kind of, it's not all the way open. It's slightly open, like you're just about to say something, and you get stuck.
Yes.
And if you look at those kids, do they look like they're having a fight?
No, there's no... You have to wonder what the heck is going on back there because there's no movement. Catatonic. They're just...
Nothing's going on. And if you've done inpatient and intensive mental health, you know this look because you see it in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And then what if you see meds induce this look mm-hmm. in people? And what's happening is because the thought is not going, their tongue is not moving, and so they look like they're not there. But I think to myself... How phenomenal that our brain and body at a child's age was already helping us space out. Because what if you grew up with a lot of chaos? What if you grew up with things that were going on and then your body had the wherewithal to stop your tongue and let you zone out for a little while?
And regain some peace,
because then it turns off the stress response. When it gets quiet, you know, that's when we can come out again. That's when our prefrontal cortex and our creative self says, oh, I can come out again, but it has to get quiet in there. So I just think about all those times, rolling my eyes up. Don't roll your eyes at me. Okay, if I roll my eyes up, I can get into a theta brainwave state and baby, I can check out. But I was told. Roll your eyes at me again.
You're gonna check out, but it's not gonna be the kind of checkout you want. Yeah.
Maybe your eyes gonna be rolling around on the ground. And so I think to myself, holy shamoly, it's already in us. The fact that you sigh when you are doing something and you go,
that release.
That is your release. Your body is giving you an extended exhale. Now, if you can be aware of that, and the next time you sigh like a surfboard, grab it and jump on that wave and really let yourself sigh, you will get such a benefit from it. It's a naturally occurring mental health the tool that your body is like trying to help you with. But we get mad at teens. Don't roll your eyes. Who are you sighing at? Sucking your teeth. But that's your neurobiology trying to help you.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm just going to tell you, you blew my mind. You blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, how did she know this? And especially the quiet mind, that tongue, I will walk around
on purpose with my mouth barely open and my tongue out. I'll do it on purpose. So if I want to get up from where I'm working and transition to something else, I will look like that little kid with their mouth open. If you saw me, you'd be like, whoa, Nicole, what's wrong with her? But I do it because I'm conscious. Check, stop it. Give it a break.
Right.
You're done with that session. You're done with that phone call. Clear the deck.
Right.
And so now I play with it. When I'm in the shower, taking a shower with my mouth open and my tongue just... Because I don't want to hijack my shower. I need this time. I need it. And if you don't know how to shut it off, this is something you could do with your physiology. This is not about you being smart, brave enough, courageous enough. You got this. Be brave. This is like, just try it. You tell me. Right. It's scientifically proven it'll work.
Right. I was surprised. I never knew. When we're thinking, our tongues are moving. And my kids probably think something is wrong with me because I was thinking and I'm like trying to pay attention to my thoughts and my tongue. And I'm like, I know I looked crazy, but it's so true. I was blown away. I was truly blown away.
I'm just glad, you know, I love your excitement. And I'm glad to know, and I told you this when we talked, people are like, oh, Nicole, like, I get these messages, like, what do you study? What do you, like, y'all, I told Lizette, and I will tell anybody, Nicole is doing this for Nicole.
Yes, she did.
First and foremost, this was for me, because the stress was getting, you know, it was getting up there, and I've only had one panic attack in my life, mm-hmm. and it was very, 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 very not nice. I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so when whatever you see me doing on Instagram, I want y'all to know that I really do that. I don't find these things and just keep them and pontificate. Like, I'm doing the work.
Tell them how to find you on Instagram.
Yeah, so on Instagram, you can find me at MS, like Miss Nicole, I'm old school, Miss Nicole, MSNICOLE, and then it's an underscore, and my last initial, which is C for Carter, so Miss Nicole, underscore C, and then on YouTube, you can find me at Nicole Carter, and with my work initials, what are those things called, credentials.
Credentials.
I'm so over it. Nicole Carter, LCSW, and I'm trying to, you know, who knows? They'll sit there and people will find them and hopefully they help.
Absolutely. Are you taking new clients? Tell us about your professional life.
Yeah, so the professional life is great. Last year I quit the 9-to-5. I just took the leap. I have a half-time private practice. I have 13 amazing clients, and that's good for me. And then part-time, I'm a clinical supervisor. And then I'm also a clinician for a residential treatment facility for young males, young boys. Yesterday, one of my young males, he has some waves coming in and a mustache. And there's just something about Black boy joy that when you compliment them and you get a teenage boy to smile.
Right.
Yeah, well, just my heart just was like, oh my gosh, he's so adorable. Like, Black boy joy is amazing. So yeah, I'm a group home clinician. I'm a clinical supervisor. And then I have a small part-time practice. And you know, that keeps me busy.
Awesome. Fantastic. Head over to the Facebook group Between a Talk and a Hard Place and tell me what you thought about this episode. Nicole, I want to thank you so much for sharing your self-soothing techniques.
And thank you for having me.
I'm swaddling tonight. I'm going to be swaddling.
I mean,
I swaddle every night, but I need the flap. The flap was phenomenal.
Over the top.
I said, you know what? Because I always try to like fold it this way. And no, the flap. That's all I need.
Get in that corner. Line it up in the corner. You got to.
Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to see you. excited to be in your presence. I love your energy. It's just so refreshing. And this, you will be returning the favor, because I definitely, come August, want to start my podcast. So you will definitely be returning the favor.
Yeah.